Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're here. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or guest speakers open the Bible and help us explore what it means to follow Jesus in everyday life. Whether you're listening from here in Airdrie or somewhere else around the world, our hope is that these messages encourage you, strengthen your faith, and draw you closer to Jesus. Thanks for being part of the Hillside family. As family, we go.
This week, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, you could turn to James chapter 3. We're going to be in James chapter 3 this morning. And this week, we are in the final week of our series called IRL, this series about living our faith in everyday spaces. The linchpin, sort of the connecting point for all of these series, or all of the sermons in this series, has been something very simple, but yet something each one of us has to work out how we do it in our lives every day. It's this idea that following Jesus, being a follower of Jesus, isn't just some doctrinal statements that we would say, yes, I believe those things. They're not theological concepts that we would say, I ascribe to those. But that faith in Jesus, a life with Jesus, is meant to be something that's lived out. It's meant to make a difference in our lives, in how we live, in how we exist in the world around us, not just in certain moments and not just in places where it looks and it feels obvious, but in everyday spaces, in life, in everyday places that we live, where life actually happens, we're meant to be followers of Jesus. We've talked about following Jesus at home, in our relationships and in our rhythms, in the way we live when we're at the most comfortable place we have, the place, the way we live in the space where we have no one to perform to. Maybe we have no one even watching us. And how do we live when there's just no pressure to be or do anything? We've talked about following Jesus in our neighborhoods, with the people around us. And what does it look like for us to live out who God has called us to be with the people we are in connection with? And we talked about last week following Jesus at work or school, the places where we spend the most part of our time. And for many of us, probably the most difficult place to live out our faith, because faith doesn't always feel like it fits at work, like it fits at school. And today we're stepping into one more space. A space that all of us live in, whether we really think about it this way or not. But whether we really cognizantly think about this as a place we live, or if we just kind of take for granted that it exists. Today we're going to talk about, what does it look like to follow Jesus online? What does it look like to be a follower of Jesus on the internet? Now, if you've been paying attention to the screen and you've noticed the little folders on there, you may have said, oh, we're going to talk about online. I'm really excited for that one because my husband needs to hear that. Or you may have said, I see that there's a folder that says online. I know it's the last week of the series. I think I'm going to be sick today because I know that I don't want to hear that sermon because of how I live online. But for most of us, living online, it's just part of everyday life now. It's not something separate. It's not something we step into occasionally. I remember when we first got the internet at our house and you had to make a choice between, can we use the phone or can we use the internet? Because we can't do both. And if you pick up the phone while someone's on the internet, it's going to in your ear and you might disconnect them from the internet. And so you had to make a choice. But today, everywhere we go, the internet is with you. In everything we do, the internet is with you. You might be on the internet right now, hoping that the people around you think that you're following along on the sermon notes. while maybe you're scrolling something else or playing something else or doing something else. For many of us, it's the first thing we see in the morning. The alarm goes off, roll over, I gotta check my emails. I don't know who might have been emailing me at 3 o'clock in the morning, but if they were, it might have been important. It's the last thing that we see before we go to bed. Well, I'm gonna go to bed. Just let me make sure I didn't miss anything important. We pick up our phones without even thinking about it, without even realizing it. We scroll, we read, we watch, we react. And there's just this constant flow of input, opinions, updates, news, reactions, and not just a little bit, a lot, all the time. And if you've spent on any time on the internet, which I'm sure you have, you know how these things can work themselves out. You read something, and something happens inside of you, and immediately you need to react. They're wrong, and I need to comment. They're wrong, and I need to show them how they're wrong. They're wrong, but when they read my comment, it will fix everything. And we immediately feel the need to respond. Or you see a comment, and you feel something rise up inside of you, that you get angry, or you get frustrated, or you get engaged, or you feel like, I need to address this. Or you watch two other people have a conversation online, and you scroll through, and you're reading all of their comments, and it doesn't take long before it turns into frustration or tension, or that weird little part of you that enjoys watching the drama unfold, or just noise. And all of this has become so normal, such a part of our everyday lives, that we don't even really stop to think about it. To ask a question like, what is this actually really truly doing to me? How is this forming me? How is this shaping me? How is this changing the way that I think? How is this changing the way I see people? How is this changing the way that I respond to people? Or maybe most importantly, what does it look like to follow Jesus here? Because it's really, really easy to think about a space like online as different. It's less serious. It's less important. It's less real. And it's certainly less connected to our faith. We can live with kind of this unspoken understanding that what happens online, it's not really real. But what we say there, how we respond there, how we carry ourselves there, what we take in there, it all shapes us. And it all matters. Now, when we come to Scripture, I can't say to you, turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verse 7, and we'll read, one day there will be this thing called Facebook, thus saith the Lord. And on that Facebook, there will be community pages. And on those community pages, there are going to be these crackpot crazy people who are going to say all of this wild and crazy stuff, and you're going to have to navigate it. And here's what I want you as my followers to do when you have to navigate Facebook. We don't get that. But what we can find in Scripture is that God teaches us the way we speak, the way we use our words, it's not just a small thing. It actually matters deeply to God. And so if you have your Bibles, this is where we can turn to James chapter 3. And what James says here is pretty direct. In fact, the entire book of James is quite direct. That James is not a flowery book. James is a very practical in-life book. And he doesn't pull many punches, and he really just kind of says what he says. But he talks about the tongue. And he talks about how the tongue is something small, but it's something incredibly powerful. He starts by showing us how something small can be powerful. He says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they're so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. James begins by giving us these analogies. An image, like a bit in a horse's mouth. And so it's just this little thing in its mouth, but you can direct the whole horse with it through this little thing. A ship, a gigantic ship, and it's steered by just this little rudder at the back. A giant forest can burn down because of just a little spark. He says, when we see the difference that even something small makes. Let's consider, your tongue is not a big part of your body. It's not a major part of your body, theoretically. It's a small part. But like these other things, it can make a big difference. And he steps into this and really shows us the power of the tongue. He says in verse 6, the tongue is also a fire. A world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and itself is set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father. And with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. James shows us that from the same mouth that we can live in this place, and so many of us, if not all of us, live from this place where we come to church and we praise God and we sing praises to God. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. I'm so grateful for everything you've done. We can celebrate communion together. We can have these moments. But then from that same mouth, there can be this inconsistency with the way we speak. We can tear people down. We can say things we shouldn't. And James says that shouldn't be. That shouldn't be who we are. James chapter 3 shows us that our words aren't neutral. Spoken or typed. That we can say, I never said it. I just typed it. Jesus, you told me to be careful with the words I speak. So I've been very careful with the words I speak. The words I type, however, but I, as your pastor, I just want to let you know that if you intend to stand before God and use that as your defense, to say, Jesus, you never said anything about the words we type, So technically, I was following you. It's not my fault you weren't clear. I just want to let you know that if you want to stand before Jesus and use that as your justification, it will not hold any water. Jesus will not say, you got me. Shoot, I should have said something. Oh, well, I guess it's no big deal. Our words aren't neutral. They reveal something deeper, something going on inside of us. And this is where we need to make this connection. That it's not just about what we say in person. This applies just as much, if not even more, to what we say online. It applies just as much, if not more, because online, it's really easy to speak quickly. It's easier to react emotionally. It's easier to say something without fully thinking it through. And it's easier to say things that we would never dream of saying to somebody's face. But the reality is, all of those words, they still come from somewhere. They reflect our hearts. They still carry impact. Ephesians 4:29 will say this. It'll say, do not let any wholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And again, let's not pretend like this is limited to in-person conversations. Say, well, the Bible said that it's my words that I speak. Let's not pretend like this doesn't include what we post, what we comment, what we send, what we share. Because the shift that we need to make sure that we make in our own minds when it comes to how we live on the internet is that online does not make our words less real. It just makes them easier to share. They're not less real, it's just easier. Which means the way we engage online, it's not separate from our faith. It's actually one of the places where our faith is most visible. Because it takes less effort. And so who we are when we're putting in the least amount of effort is really who we are. Because we're not performing. And if that's true, if our words matter, whether they're typed or spoken, if what we say online is not separate from our faith, then my friends, we all need to be honest about something. Because this is one of the places where for most of us, or for a large portion of us, things can start to break down. Where our faith, if it's true that our faith, our spiritual walk with God, our online presence is part of that, that can become problematic for a lot of us. And I think for a lot of us, it shows up in a few really familiar ways. First, we react instead of reflect. This might be the most common one. You open your internet browser, you open your social media apps, and you see something, and it stirs something up inside of you. And we respond immediately. We feel something, or we feel something and we feel the need to express it right away, that social media creates this urgency inside of us that I've read this and I must do something with it, and I must do something with it right now. And so I need to comment. I need to say something. I need to bring my perspective to this conversation, because everyone, whether they know it or not, is just waiting for my perspective. And so I need to give it. There's no pause. There's no space to think. No moment to ask ourselves, is what I read even true? Or was it just there to get a rise out of me? Is what I'm going to say even helpful? Or is it just outrage inside of me that needs to pour out? Is it wise? Does it reflect Jesus? But we just want to react. And the problem with that is that our first reaction is not always our best response. That our first, how something makes us feel in the moment is not necessarily the best way to handle that. Second, we drift into harshness. There's something about looking at a screen. There's something about engaging on our phone that changes how we speak. We can say things more directly, more quickly, more sharply. Things that we wouldn't say if we were sitting face to face with someone. Tone gets lost. Empathy gets lost. And over time, it becomes easier to tear down than to build up. And now, through so many social media things, you have the power to comment anonymously. So you don't even have to attach your name to it. You get to be like Primitive Duck 187 or whatever it is, and you get to say whatever it is that you want to say, and you can say it however you want to say it, and nobody even knows it's you. Third, we get pulled into outrage. This is the environment that we live in online. Everything feels amplified. Everything feels urgent. Everything feels like it requires a response. And before long, because of the algorithms that these things are run on, when we pause on a post, when we click on a post, the algorithm starts to feed you more, but it takes you further. And so not only does it validate what you were saying, it actually starts to even push you a little further to say, I thought it was bad. I didn't know it was this bad. But then I thought it was that. I didn't know it was this bad. And we get pushed further and further into strong opinions, strong reactions, strong divisions. And it doesn't take long before we're not just discussing ideas. But whether we know it or not, we've been pushed against other people. Fourth, we forget that there's a person on the other side of the screen. This one is subtle, but it's really important. Our brain thinks that we're engaging with a comment. Our brain thinks that we're engaging with a video. Our brain thinks that we're engaging with an opinion. When you look at a screen, it's easy to forget there's a real person there. Someone with a story. A person who James says is made in the image of God. A person that Jesus loves. And a person that Jesus died for. And when we forget that, it becomes easy to dismiss them. Easy to label them. That you're not dealing with a person, you're dealing with an opinion. You're not dealing with a person, you're dealing with a comment. To reduce them down to an idea or an opinion instead of seeing them as someone we are called to love. A couple weeks ago, we talked about what it means to love your neighbor. And when Jesus was asked, well, who is my neighbor? Jesus' answer was, your neighbor is anybody you're willing to treat like they're your neighbor. And so when we engage with people online, they may, if it's on your community page, they may be your neighbor. But if it's not, you still have the choice to love them like they're your neighbor. Fifth, we slip into performative faith. This is another one that's easy to miss. Where what we post starts to become more about how we're perceived than how we're actually living. Or potentially what we post is our way to try and make up for the other stuff we posted. That was brutal. So I need to post a Bible verse because it'll balance the scales out a little bit. I know I went way too far. So John 3:16, there, we're even, right? It can look like saying the right things, sharing the right content, presenting a certain image, having a cross or a Bible verse in your Instagram bio, but not necessarily reflecting that same life everywhere. And over time, there becomes this gap between what we project and who we actually are. When you step back and take a look at all of this, we start to see something. And this has been one of the things that we've come back to over and over and over again throughout the series, because it's been true every time we've talked about it, and it's true again today. Like everything we've talked about in this series, it's not intentional. It's not a case where we've ever said to ourselves, about ourselves, we are going to follow Jesus here, but we're not going to follow Jesus there. That I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, but on the internet, I'm going to be a menace. We don't make that choice. It's not intentional, but it's how the environment shapes us when we're not paying attention. We don't set out to misrepresent Jesus online. We just slowly begin to engage in ways that don't reflect him. And over time, this space that feels casual, this space that doesn't feel really real, actually becomes more formative than just about any other space in our lives. That how we think, how we respond, how we understand the world around us is more shaped by our time online than just about anything else, whether we realize it or not. And so we spend this time and we feel like, well, this space isn't even really real. This isn't real life. And yet it bleeds over into real life. We engage with content that leaves us angry and frustrated. But then we think we leave it behind and we become this happy-go-lucky person in regular life. At least that's what we tell ourselves. But when we're constantly left frustrated, we're constantly left angry, it starts to shape who we've become. And if we can be honest about how the online world may be shaping us, and not always for the better, then we can begin to talk about how do we live differently? What does it look like to be a follower of Jesus online? And it's important to say this. This isn't about just deleting everything. This isn't about somehow going, okay, what I'm going to do then is I'm going to just delete my entire web presence. We're going to cancel the internet. We're not even going to be a part of this anymore. It's not about stepping away completely. It's about learning how to engage differently. Not just reaction, but intention. And so first, it starts with slowing down. One of the simplest, most important things that we can do is just slow down. Before you post, before we respond, before we read this comment or this thing, and we just have to say our piece. That we just have to lay into them. That we just have to make our point. Just pause. Just take a moment. create a little bit of space between what we feel and what we say. Because it's in that space, that pause, is often where wisdom begins. In a different place in James, he'll say, be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to get angry. Just pause, just slow down. Second, it shows up in our words. If our words matter, then how we use them matters too. And that means asking ourselves some simple questions. Does this tear down? Or like Ephesians 4 said, does this build up? Is this helpful? Or is it just a reaction to make me feel better? Is this something that I would say to this person face to face if I was sitting down with them? Or do I need to use an anonymous account because it's not even something I want to put my name on? There's a saying that can guide a lot of our online activity. Mom always said, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say nothing at all. And I want to say this to you, and I don't want to hurt your feelings when I say it. Maybe you've never heard this before, and maybe you've never understood this before. And so I don't want you to cause offense, but I think it's also important that if you've never heard this before, that someone says this to you, and I'm happy to be that someone. Not everything we think needs to be said. And not everything you feel needs to be shared. For many of us in our lives on the internet, we live out the opposite way. I read something, I have a thought, I need to say it. I see something, I react to it, and I've got to share this. But my friends, not everything needs to happen. Third, it includes what we consume. This is probably part of our life online that we don't really give enough thought to. It's not something we don't always think about. It's not just what we say, but it's what we're constantly absorbing. Because what we take in actually shapes the way we respond. It shapes how we think. It shapes how we see things. Content that's designed to stir up anger or to keep us in a constant state of frustration will leave you angry and frustrated. And as I said, you may feel like you can leave it behind, but you won't. You will be angry and you will be frustrated, and other people will start to notice. Content that pulls us into speculation or conspiracy, where everything starts to feel uncertain or trustworthy, and it just keeps getting worse, and every time, and I can't believe anything, and nothing is real, and everything is fake, and did you know, and it becomes this chaotic world where nothing is real. Content that's just noise, scrolling, memes, sipping the tea, things that don't build anything up, but over time leave us feeling drained. Content that feeds comparison, that we look online and we see other people's lives and we feel terrible because our life doesn't look like that. Even though we can sort of objectively know neither does theirs, it's not a question of reality, but we look at other people's lives and suddenly nothing about ours feels right anymore. My house isn't right. My kids aren't right. My family's not right. My car's not right. Nothing is right. Look at their life. Why can't my life look more like their life? The reality, though, of course, is that their life doesn't look like that either. Or even just being in spaces where all we hear are voices that think the same way that we do, and it pushes us further and deeper and further and deeper and further and deeper until we lose the ability to stop or to see people clearly, but it just becomes an issue that's shaped like a person. Fourth, it means remembering the person. On the other side of every post, every comment, every message, there is a person. Someone made in the image of God. Someone with a story. Someone that Jesus loves and Jesus died for. And if we want to follow Jesus in this space, it means being intentional about choosing to see people that way. Even when we disagree strongly. Even when it's difficult strongly. Even when I really, 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 really believe they're wrong and I feel like I need to show them the right way. Because we know that everyone's minds are so open online. And if I could just tell them the truth, they will have no problem saying in the next comment, I never thought about it that way, you're right. Or online works the opposite. And fifth, it's about representing Jesus. At the end of the day, this is it. This is what it comes down to. If we belong to Jesus, then we represent him. Jesus will say that we are his ambassadors, that we represent Jesus to the world. And that includes how we show up online. The tone we carry, the words we use, the way we engage with others, all of it reflects something. All of it reflects our heart. All of it reflects who we are. And over time, if we represent Jesus well, a constant, thoughtful, gracious presence becomes a powerful witness. Not because it's loud, not because it's angry, not because it's engaging in online debate all day long about anything and everything, but because it's different. And when we choose to follow Jesus in this way online, things begin to change inside of us. And suddenly the space doesn't control us the same way anymore. We begin to engage with intention. Our words become more thoughtful. Our responses become more measured. Our presence becomes more grounded. Not because we've stepped away from it, but because we're learning to follow Jesus in it. So here's the question, not just for today, but for this whole series. What would it look like to follow Jesus in your real life? At home, in your neighborhood, at work or at school, and yes, even online. Not perfectly, we've done a 4-week sermon series. What more do you need? You should have it all done by now. We've talked about this for like almost 5 hours in total. No, that's not right. Sermons are half an hour. 2 hours in total, 2 and a bit. How much more could you need? You should have it mastered by now. It's not perfect, but it's one step at a time. Maybe for you this week, that means slowing down before we respond. Maybe it's being more intentional about what we're taking in. Maybe it means choosing to engage differently in one situation. Maybe it means looking at the words we use, spoken or typed, and realizing that maybe these aren't the best words to say what I'm trying to say. Because following Jesus It's not just something that we're meant to do in certain spaces and in certain contexts. It's meant to be something we live in every part of our real life. So three takeaways for today. First, what we say online, whether we want to admit it or not, reflects what's happening in our hearts. Our words are not neutral. Whether spoken or typed, they reveal what's going on inside of us and carry real impact in the lives of other people. Second, if we're not careful, we begin to engage online in ways that don't reflect Jesus. If we're not intentional, if we're not purposeful, we will begin to get dragged into the environment around us. We'll react instead of reflect, we'll drift into harshness, get pulled into division, and forget that there's real people on the other side. If we're not careful, if we're not intentional, that's who the internet will create in us. And third, following Jesus online means living with intention on how we speak, how we respond, and how we engage. It doesn't have to be about stepping away completely, but about slowing down, choosing our words carefully, and representing Jesus in a space that we use every day. Let's pray together. Father God, we come to you today, and we want to humbly admit, humbly confess, humbly recognize that there's this whole world that we're not sure how to navigate. That there's this whole world of information, there's this whole world of content, there's this whole world of people. And God, we don't know how to do this well. God, we get pulled into places we shouldn't be. We get pulled into reactions we shouldn't have. It shapes us more than we realize it does. And so, God, we come to you today as people with just a humble admission that we need you. And God, your word will say to us that if any of you lacks wisdom, come and ask, and that you'll be faithful to give it. And so, God, as the pastor of the church, on behalf of the people of Hillside Church, God, want to humbly admit and humbly say, God, we need your wisdom. We need your wisdom when it comes to the online world. We need your wisdom when it comes to social media. We need your wisdom in a world that wants to just drive engagement and drive frustration and drive anxiety and drive fear, and a world that just wants to get us riled up, in a world that feels so unreal and yet is more real than just about anything in our lives. God, we come to you and we ask for your wisdom. God, we want to be a people that represent Jesus well. We want to be a people who are salt and who are light. We want to be a people that are changing the world around us, not a people that are being changed by the world around us. And God, in order for us to live out our faith, in order for us to live out who we are called and purposed to be as followers of Jesus, in order for us to be everything that we know that you've called us to do and be, God, we need you. We need your wisdom. And so, God, I pray that on behalf of our church family, God, would you give us wisdom to navigate the online world well? Would we be able to be salt and light? Would we be able to be a people who make a difference? Would we be able to be a people who represent you in maybe the most difficult spaces imaginable? God, thank you for your presence in our lives. God, thank you that you've given us the responsibility of an online presence. And God, help us to steward it well. God, I thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for each one of our lives, a plan and a purpose for where each one of us exists, God, and that includes our online spaces. And so, God, we just want to follow you. We want to be led by you. We want to be directed by you. God, would you help us to be a people who follow you online? In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu, then Our Leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power together. As family, we go,